Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I lay.
May I God. Welcome each and every one. Amen. The Eagles of Flight Hour. I'm Marcus from Marcus Dupree. We thank God, Prophet Lee and Dupree. We thank God as we get ready to get into the Word tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord God, to get into your word. And we thank you for the opportunity to break bread with your wonderful people tonight. We thank you for your presence that's here with us right now in Jesus' name. Rest your presence upon us, Lord, that as we embrace your presence, Lord God, we thank you for your experience that you're giving to us, Lord, as we learn of you, Lord. We thank you for the change that's happening in Jesus' name inside of us. Thank you for our hearts, Lord God, to be knit together in love. And we thank you for your hand is upon each and every one in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, even as we search the scriptures tonight. Let the word of God come alive, Lord. Let it minister to our hearts and let it go deep within us, oh God. Let us find us in those places, Lord God, those areas that we know not of, or be those areas of denial. Let it go deep, Lord. Let it deal with us, Lord God. Help us to see ourselves as we in you. Lord, thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Even any confrontation, let it confront our hearts and our minds in Jesus' name, Lord God, that as we come to the place of, Lord God, of accountability according to your word. Thank you for the word going forth, breaking onto new grounds, Lord God, in Jesus' name, breaking down walls, Lord God. Thank you for breaking down even prison walls, Lord God. Thank you for setting our heart and our minds free in Jesus' name. Whomever the Son set free is free indeed. And we thank you for your freedom, your liberty that you're giving to us right now. In Jesus' name, do what you desire to do, Lord God, as we embrace your presence tonight. We allow you to have free course in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, show yourself strong as we continue to move forward and go forth and do what you call us to do. We thank you for favor in this time, this hour, Lord God, that we shall continue to go forth in a new, fresh wind, a fresh spirit, Lord God. In Jesus' name, so Lord God, thank you for healing, restoring, building us up, Lord God, for such a time as this, as we allow you to have free course. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, thank you. As we pray for each and everyone receiving tonight, in Jesus' name we pray. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. Jesus, increase that we decrease now. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Welcome once again. Amen. For those who need to call in, who listen by computer or any other device, and you need to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box or ask your questions or prayer requests. Amen. So glory to God. Amen. Tonight we want to deal with a new series tonight. Amen. We're not sure how many parts will be to this, but only thing I know is we're going to start tonight. We're going to get involved in it. Amen. And let the Lord begin to minister and deal how as He see fit. Amen. And so we're going to go forth in that, and we're going to ask you to turn with us to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Amen. Joshua chapter 7 is where we'll start at, and we'll pick up from there. Glory to God. All right, Joshua chapter 7 starts as, well, let me see. Hold on a second. A different translation. All right, so I'm gonna be reading the NLT version as well as the New King James version, but I'll start off in the NLT version. But Israel violated the instructions about this thing set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of the dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zariah, of the tribe of Judah. Joshua set sent some of the men, his men, from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai of East Bethel near Bethaven. Excuse me. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai, since there are so few of them. Don't make all of our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated, the men of Ai. Chosen by the Israelites, the town was gated as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed down, face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, "O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you are going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, what can I say now that the Israelites have fled from the enemies? For when the Canaanites and all of the people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe our name off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" But the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this?" I'm going to stop there. Amen. Amen. And I want to go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, start at verse. We'll start at verse. Let's start at verse 1. "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that thou sole of thy feet, your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There should not be any," this is the focus verse here, "there should not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people shalt thou divide in inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give thee." Amen. Amen. And I just go ahead and read that last verse. "Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command thee. Turn not from it from the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest." Now, amen. Now, tonight I want to talk about from the subject of overcoming. Breaking cycles of defeat, overcoming defeat and failure, breaking cycles of defeat, overcoming defeat and failure. Amen. So as we begin this, we see the children of Israel with Joshua. And this is after Moses has died and moved on. And as we see in chapter 1, where God told Joshua that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He said, I will not fail thee. I will be with you. You know, basically, you have the victory because you have me. Well, in chapter 7, we see there's a situation where the children of Israel actually lost. They lost to a small tribe. 60 or 70 people, they lost to Ai. And they got whooped. And they had 3,000 people to go fight them from Joshua's tribe to go down to fight Ai. And they sent their men packing. They whooped them. They didn't even kill 36 people. So what happened to that promise that the Lord said he would be there? What happened to their security that they had in the Lord? What happened? I mean, he said no man should be able to stand before him. Not only just any man, but the smallest tribe, one of the smallest group of people, beat them. And they defeated Jericho, you know. And they brought the house down. So how is it this small place called Ai, a small group, beat them? And so it's in our lives, the Lord said, I am with you always, even to the end. He said that you're more than a conqueror. No weapon that is formed against you prosper. All these promises saying who we are and how he's with us and how we're victorious. But yet, some of us have defeat every day of our life. Or it's very often we're going through these cycles of defeat. And we can't seem to have the victory that we've been promised. It's amazing how easy it seems for the enemy to beat us when he himself is defeated. It's really going on. Once again, as we understand, breaking cycles of defeat, overcoming defeat and failure. See, that word cycle is a set of events or actions that happen again and again and again in the same order. A repeating series of events or actions, a set of regular or repeated actions that are done by a machine or as part of a longer process. Okay. Also, too, it means an interval of time during which a sequence of reoccurring succession of events or phenomena is completed. Okay, like a cycle of growth. Now, so as we see this and understand it, if you see, as we're looking at this, we're understanding that a cycle is something that happens over and over. And sometimes if we look at these patterns of defeat that some of us may go through, we see where we're on the mountaintop, doing great, I mean, doing flourishing, flying, but then somehow either a certain time of day, a certain time of year, or certain things happen, or a certain kind of stuff that may happen, we find ourselves in the place of the valley. We find ourselves defeated. We find ourselves struggling. You know, it's like one day we're flourishing in strength. The other day we're trying to breathe gas for air. We're trying to survive. We're trying to make it through. Amen. So here it is. As we look at this, let's go a little further here. As we look at, we looked at cycle. But listen, what is defeat? Defeat is a victory over someone or something in a war, a contest, a game, to cause someone or something to fail, to control or overcome something. In this case, we see where the children of Israel, they were destined to win. They were supposed to win. They had the victory to win. But somehow, they ended up losing and being defeated, even to the point to where they were paralyzed in fear because of what had happened. That does not sound like victory. That is defeat. So when we see this, this lets us know, even some of the Goliaths that we have to deal with in our daily life, you know, after losing a couple times or so, it can be very paralyzing. Just the thought of what you might have to deal with. Just the thought of dealing with that Goliath again. See, it can become such a wall in our life to where we have a hard time even going that direction. Because we know, and what happens is memory begins to betray us. Because what happens is memory begins to remind us of the defeat. It begins to remind us of what happened last time, even though this is a new time around, but it reminds us what happened the last time, and it plays back details that we don't really care to see or care to hear. But now we're messing with our faith, because now we need to have faith to overcome this thing, but we keep recycling or keep playing back the defeat, and the thing that you begin to repeat the most or give much attention to, it becomes to begin to magnify against us or magnify in our life. So in other words, the more we keep playing those memories of defeat, the stronger the defeat is. The more we make it more of an obstacle to overcome. Because we're blowing it up in our head, because the only thing we do is think about it. And sometimes we see it fast, sometimes we see it slow, sometimes we see it as it was. You know, so all these versions of that defeat, it begins to mess with us, even according to our faith. See, and this is where, as we have to understand, once again, fear and doubt cannot work together. Faith and doubt and fear cannot work together, you know, and doubt. We can't allow our faith to be contaminated with fear and doubt, because it cannot function or produce the way it's supposed to, because we're not believing, or because we're believing more in our position than in our God. Glory to God. If anyone needs desire to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Amen. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Ask your questions or comments. Amen. At this time. So we have to understand the nature of this whole thing. The cycles of defeat, it can begin to work on us without anything happening. We can actually have, this can happen one time, a defeat, but because our mind has not unloosed this event, we can begin to play it over and over in our mind, and we continuously see defeat, and next thing you know, we begin to build up our system to accommodate defeat or be used to defeat. So when we do come against a battle, sometimes we don't even try, because if it looks like that thing that we dealt with before, we're going to back away from it, we're going to retreat, we won't even try. If this is not where God wants us to be. He wants us to have short memory when it comes to defeat. Because we cannot dwell on a loss or dwell on the past and expect to go forward and be strong. You know, I'm sure if we allow the defeat to begin to stay in our face and remind us all the time, see, now we're building up the side of fear and not the side of faith. Faith, if the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh, faith cometh, faith cometh. So if faith cometh that way, then we can also receive fear that way too. And when fear begins to build up like this, knowledge is working against us. It's short-circuiting our faith. It's blocking our faith from really being put into action and really going forth, because now you have reason to doubt because of what happened before or the thing that just took place. Now you have a problem. You have a doubt and unbelief working in you because of what formerly happened. And we don't learn to have a short memory according or towards those issues as defeat, we begin to carry these things on to where they begin to live longer in us or begin to work more against us. So as we see the children of Israel here, so Joshua is, and the officers are really confused. They're like, I don't understand, God, what in the world, how did this happen, what's going on? There's a lot of questions, especially as a leader, when you clearly know the potential of those who walk with you and you see where they should have the victory, but somehow you end up defeated. Somehow you end up limited. Somehow you see where the enemy has somehow come in and trip you up, trip them up. And now you try to look from a different place of being defeated or being knocked down and almost knocked out. So as Lord has begun to show us that this is not his desire for us, that we should not be in that situation or place, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. See, we have to remember who we were made of, who's inside of us, who's dwelling in us. He said we're more than conquerors. We are overcomers. So as we continue to go forth in this way, we're mindful about how we need to process. See, if we process this thing wrong, it's going to work against us. If we have to process every battle the way we need to process it. When we go into battles, we have to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Not just focus on the ugly or the bad or the areas where you didn't do good, but you also need to focus on the parts where you did do good, where at in the battle that we failed. And sometimes we want to forget the whole situation, but it takes a wise strategist to go back and examine the battle. How did we fight in this situation? Did we fight with wisdom or in wisdom? Did we allow our flesh or emotions to get the best of us? Some people fight an emotional fight. See, people who fight an emotional fight in such a way, when it comes to fight emotionally, a lot of times they end up defeated because by emotions they're driven. And they're fighting a while because they're mad, hurt, upset. They end up doing more damage or hurting themselves or just causing themselves to lose the battle. We cannot fight spiritual battles by emotions. We cannot walk a spiritual walk by the flesh. See, when we allow, when we're fighting out of the wrong place or from the wrong place, we are already in a defeated state. Because where we ought to be functioning by the spirit, we're doing it by emotions or the flesh. We get our number outmatched because we're not fighting according to the spirit of God. We're not fighting according to where we need to be. So we end up finding ourselves in a place where it's not working for us. We find ourselves in a place where we just compromise the whole fight because we're trying to fight in a spiritual fight by emotions and we're losing bad. Glory to God. So as we go a little further, walk with me, glory to God. So when it comes to defeat, we got to remember, defeat was never God's plan for us. Jesus, we see that Jesus, he not only walked in victory, but he overcame. Jesus said, when he was at the cross, he said, it is finished. He completed the course. He ran his race. He finished the course. He completed the mission. It is finished. So even when it comes down to us, sometimes it may not look good. It may not look pretty. But how we finish the thing off makes a difference about how we stand. So even here, as we're thinking about what Jesus went through for us, he could have been quite a few places, but he could have actually stopped and said, you know what, this is not even worth it. I'm not going to do this. But he didn't. And the fact that he did not do that lets us know we have overcomer inside of us. We are an overcomer. We are victorious. We are more than a conqueror. All those things that he said in his word, we are. Now, if you believe it, is the key. No, because no matter what God says, no matter the promises, the promises of God are yea and amen. So if God said it, then it is so. But we have to still believe. Because if you don't believe, it's not going to work for you. If you don't trust him, it's not going to work for you. Glory to God. So we have to be able to look from a good place and be able to allow him to help us to really embrace that. Okay. So as we look at Joshua chapter 7, let's go there. Amen. Joshua chapter 7. Amen. All right. Joshua 7, he goes on. Verse 2, it sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, and the east side of Bethel, and spake to them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to them, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all that people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before Ai. Before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from the beginning, from before the gate of, before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the men melted and became as water. So, because of what happened, it hit them so hard that they just lost faith. I mean, they just got wiped out, not only by they got defeated, but their faith is shot right now because of what happened. They took a hit in their confidence. And I mean, because this is clearly a smaller country. But this is going to show you, too, sometimes, you know, it really come down to the fact matter, no matter the numbers. If God be for you, who's the world against you? But if God be against you, oh my God, who is going to stand by you? And they were out of position with God. We're going to see it in a few minutes, but they were out of position with God. And because they were out of position with God and severely outnumbered them, the people, Israel actually, children of Israel actually outnumbered Ai big time, but at least a couple of thousands. But even though that was the case, the proof is in the pudding. Without God, you can do nothing. We can do nothing without God. I don't care what odds man they make up. I don't care how many people we have, so-called staff. If we let the Lord build the house, we labor in vain to build it. We would not see the promises of God the way we need to see those promises if we try and do it without him. See, we can't just do it of our own self. And this is part of the reason why we defeated. Because a lot of times we think, oh, I got this, God. I can handle this. And we let that pride tell us that we can do this by ourselves. We don't need God's help. We got this. God, I got this. Okay, you take a chill, B. I got this. Take a chill, G. I got this. And at the same time while we're doing that, the devil is handing us our bottom. He's defeated. That's the thing about it. He's a defeated foe already. But because we're not thinking, because we're coming from the wrong place in this thing, we allow ourselves to be caught up in our emotions and the pride, all these different things, and so now we're losing battles that we should have won. Glory to God. We're losing battles that we should have won. Why does that spirit have such a control on you? But yet you love God. And you love God, but you in God, you in Christ, and you pray and do all of that, but somehow that spirit still attached to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's something going on deeper than what we see. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 14. John chapter 14, 29. Amen. John 14, excuse me. Amen. So, as we see here, John 14, 29, and it reads as so. One second. Amen. So, we're finding ourselves defeated by things that we should have had the victory over. We find ourselves being paralyzed over things that we already had conquered at one point, or some things that because the blood of Jesus, because of the victor inside, victory from the victorious one inside of us, this should be no problem. There's nothing greater power than the power of God. Amen. So we know that if He did it, why is it that we'll find ourselves defeated when we should have the victory? Something is not adding up. God, you said I can do all things through you, then why can't I do this? If you said I can do all things, then why can I not get past this block? Why can I not get past this Goliath? Why does this thing actually grip me in fear? Why? When I see this Goliath, when I see this giant, it is messing with me, it taunts me, it says all kind of things about me, it talks about me, and it calls me, it doesn't even call me as a child of God, it calls me everything else but a child of God. Why? But I know I'm supposed to, according to your word, and you said in your word that you're a man, you should not lie, so why am I defeated? Why am I losing these battles? Why am I paralyzed in fear? If I'm supposed to be an overcomer, why am I not overcoming? Glory to God. John 14 to 30, 29. He says, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not speak much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. Let me read this in the NLT. In the NLT version, it says, I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. He has no power over me. Why is it that he has power over you? Why is it his power over me? What is it that we're not doing, that we're giving him strength or giving him power that we should not have? How is it that he has the strength or the ability to lock us down or shut us down when we should be winning? Why does he have this advantage over me? Why am I about to be fearful over him and he should be the one fearful over me? Why is this? What's really going on, God? See, if we don't ask these real questions, we can't get real answers. And if we don't seek it, we won't find it. And if we don't knock, we won't be open to us. See, we have to understand and be real with ourselves. Really examine ourselves, our hearts, and understand what is it that I'm not doing. Let me read that version in the Amplified. It says, I will not speak, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world, evil genius ruler of this world is coming. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. My God, my God, my God. Let me read that version again. He said, I will not talk with you much more. For the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. I can shut it down right there. We can stop right there. My God. What is it in us that we have in common with him? What is it in us that's allowing him to have dominion over us or claim on us? What do we have in common? What is it that it belongs? How is it he has power over me? How can two walk unless they agree? What is it in me that I'm in agreement with him to where I have no power over him because it shuts down, because it's illegal? See, that's why we cannot shut down an enemy if we compromise with the enemy. If we are in cahoots with the enemy, we can't shut him down. If we are in common with one another, I have no authority. I can't be the power over him. I really don't have it because I'm doing the same thing that he's done and doing. Or there's something in me that he has contaminated. He has sabotaged me with. Let's go a little deeper. All right. So, what does he have in common? Now, let's go back to Joshua chapter 7. We're going somewhere. Hold on. We're going somewhere. We're about to get in a little bit deeper here. Amen. We're getting into this thing a little bit deeper. Now, let's go, Joshua. Let's go to verse 5 says, and the men of Ai killed about 36 of them, and they chased them from before the gate as far as the Shebarim and slew them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became water. They were shocked. They were utterly shocked because they remembered the promise that God told them. They were overwhelmed. They couldn't figure how in the world this small group of people just handle us like we ain't even nobody. We clearly outnumbered them, but it was almost like they had the numbers and we didn't. How is that? Okay, he goes on further. And then Joshua rent his clothes and lay on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. Joshua said, alas, Oh Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all, only to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we have been content to dwell beyond the Jordan? Oh Lord, what can I say now that Israel has turned to flee from their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. What will you do for your great name? So Joshua's already about to get he's freaking out, because he's like, man, if this small group beat us, how can we have a chance with anyone else? They're going to wipe us out. Once they get word of the AI beings, what are we going to do next? I mean, they're going to have us surrounded. They're going to cut us off. We're going to get wiped out. And God, how is that going to bring glory? How is that going to bring glory to your name? God, why is it this nicotine thing got me, this pornography, whatever it is that we're dealing with, well, how does this thing have you, and how can you give God glory defeated? How can you give glory? You're struggling back into drugs again. You're struggling with alcohol again. You're struggling into fornication, adultery again. You're struggling with these issues again, and you find yourself defeated. How? You find yourself lying again, scheming again, skeezing again. All these different things that you're doing again. You find yourself in a cycle once again in the position of defeated. Why? If I can't defeat this, how can I stand? God, these addictions, these things that's attached to me, how can we break this and win? How? That is the question. How can you break it and win? We go on further. Amen. And verse 10, the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie this upon your face, like this upon your face? Israel has sinned. We have sinned in the camp. There's something wrong to where we're missing the mark that's causing us to be defeated. What is it as we examine our hearts? He goes on to say, they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. So the covenant that we made with God, somehow we're breaking the covenant. Somehow we're working against what we told God that we would do. Somehow we've falling short of what it is that God wants us to do, or he required for us to do. And listen, that we're able to do. A lot of times it's a decision that we have to make. Are we making the decision? Are we keeping our word? It's better not to make a vow than break it to God. He goes on a little further and says, they have taken some of the things devoted for destruction. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own baggage. That is why the Israelites could not stand before their enemies. My God, what is it that we're holding on to? What is it that we have on the inside? What is it that we're harboring that's in common with the enemy to where he has our number called? That we can't defeat him because we are in common with him. Or there's a place in us that he has dominion because of the thing that we have in common. See, in other words, we can't overcome something that we're in common with the enemy. So glory to God. So if we are in this place of being in common, let me say it like this. When there's familiarity in the camp, it's going to be hard to defeat when there's, or really rule over when there's familiarity in the place. Okay, because of this, it paralyzes us. Okay, he goes on further to say, he fled from them, okay. Okay, verse 12 says, this is why the Israelites could not stand before their enemies, but fled before them. They are cursed and have devoted for destruction. I will cease to be with you unless you destroy the accursed devoted things among you. See, sometimes there are things among us that we're holding on to that's like kryptonite to Superman. What is your kryptonite that you're holding on to that you would not let go that's causing you to be defeated? What is the thing that's weakening your godly strength that's causing you to walk as a mere broken man? What is it that's causing you to be not the first, not the second Adam, but it's causing you to be like the first Adam? See, Adam, the original Adam, was defeated because he violated spiritual law, and that made him, that stripped him, that made him as a mere man when he was made to be a god. Let me say that again. Because he was in violation, that caused him, where he was, he had the strength, the anointing, the power to be a god, made him a mere man, stripped him. That's why he had to work from the sweat of his brow, where he would come easy in the godly strength, where he was in a state of unity with God. But when he became common with the enemy, because of the choice that he made him like the enemy, defeated. So we can't play around with these things that's accursed and think that it's going to be blessed because we're doing it. So what is it? Anyone who need to call in the numbers 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, amen. And press Q to get in the box, amen. Press 1 to get in the box, amen. Okay, he said, I will cease to be with you unless you destroy the accursed thing. See, God cannot stand the presence of sin. So when we allow ourselves to be caught up, when we allow ourselves to be caught up in sin, God is not in it. So where we had his super upon our natural, we now have just a natural because God's super has lifted off of us. This is why we can't work and function in the power of God when we're in sin. When we're in sin, we cannot function and move in the power of God. It short circuits the power of God in our life. Amen. Verse 13 says, sanctify, set apart for a holy purpose to people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For this, the Lord says, the God of Israel, there are accursed things in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away from among you the things devoted to destruction. Look here, point blank and period. Like we said about demonic forces, we cannot cast out a demon if we live in all kind of lifestyle, because we cannot function in dominion over a demonic force when we are doing the same thing that it does. We cannot. So when there's things that we're allowing ourselves to be connected to, or people connected in those things, and we allow ourselves to be in violation, we cannot walk in God's supernatural power violated. We cannot, in being in violation, we cannot function in the authority that we've been given. So we forfeit all of that until we come out of that place. Then we're able to work in and function in. Amen. So that's why you have to make a decision. Examine yourself. So this is where he's calling examination to the camp. He needs to find out who has these accursed things. In the morning, therefore, shall present your bodies, and the tribe which the Lord takes shall come by families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the households which the Lord takes shall come by persons. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be killed, and his body burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a shameful and wicked thing in Israel. Shameful and wicked thing. See, to know to do and not do is sin. So when we choose to do, and we know, especially when we know better, that's wicked. It's sin. It's sin. So we have to make sure that, and this is where we guard our heart with all diligence for, out of it, the issues of life, because it comes of the issues of life. We have to be careful what we engage in or allow ourselves to get wrapped in, because when your heart get into a thing, it's hard to come out. And so we wonder why these cycles of defeat are happening, but because we've gotten so deep, we in sync, we in too deep. So you have heard, we've had that movie called Into Deep. We got into deep to it, so we're so committed into this thing now, it's hard to pull away or pull out. To where we become so much in one, so much of one with this thing, to where it hurts us to let it go. It hurts us to come out. To where we can know it's better for us to come out, but we choose to stay in. There was someone who I know recently who not so long had a situation where with cigarettes. Okay, and the thing is, their body was in danger of some real bad things happening because of that. Well, the doctor told him, said, "Well, look, you but die basically with this foolishness, you know, because it's gotten so much in the system, is really about to mess them up." After telling them this, what did they do? Go back and even telling someone about it, they begin to light up a cigarette and start smoking. They said, you know, they laugh at themselves. They say, "You mean I'm just so crazy? The doctor told me this and this and this, and I'm still smoking a cigarette." See, sometimes we're so caught or so deep into it that we are in denial how far we into it. Don't even realize that we got a real problem. That our problem is killing us. The longer we stay in it, it's killing us. It's taking away from us. It's bringing us closer down to the dirt each and every time that we do it. But we're so addicted, so caught up in the moment, till it's hard for us to back away. Glory to God. Hold on, we almost finished. Glory to God. So he says, verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought near by Israel the tribes. Okay, let me skip on a little bit. He went on near the families and he moved on. Okay, verse 19. He moved past verse 18. He would do a few more families. He had Achan. That's when he got to the household, near his household, man by man. And Achan, son of Carmi, and the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to God. Give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him." See, until we open up about our problem, until we open up about the thing that has a hold of us, until you get past the place of denial, thinking that you still got control, because sometimes we think we had control of something, but now it has control of us. Sometimes people are functional users. They can function and still operate, and but yet be users and with drugs or whatever the case may be. And they think they got it. They still got it. But sometimes they go to that place of being a functional user to where the things start using them. And to where it gets to that point, it begins to overtake them. Because the thing that you once had control over now have control over you. And so now, because the thing had control over you, you find yourself powerless. Where, on the other hand, if you were really walking in dominion, that thing is powerless against you because you're in the right standing with God. You're standing with God. You're standing in God. So because you're standing in that right place with God, it has no dominion over you. Jesus said that the enemy of this world cometh, the prince of this world cometh, it finds nothing in common in me. So that means there's nothing, because if he was not in sin, the enemy had nothing in common with him. So he could function in his authority and dominion because the enemy had no place, nor make no room for the devil. There was no place that he could come in and defeat him because he was all God. He was all in agreement and in right standing with God. There was no opening for the enemy to come in. So if we don't solidify that and make sure, and see, this is the thing too. He told him to confess to the Lord. He told him to confess to the Lord, the God of Israel. The thing is, a lot of times, like I said before, that unconfessed sin that's hiding in your camp, that unconfessed thing, those unconfessed things that you're hiding in your camp, you ain't telling the Lord about, you think you got it, that'll be the first thing to kill you. That'd be the first thing to take you down. Because you think you got it, and it really has you. Glory to God. It has you. So he told Achan, confess to him, and tell me now, what have you done? God already showed him it's him. God already know it's you. What have you done? And listen, just because when God asks you, it ain't that God don't know. Oh, he knows. He just wants to see if we will be honest enough to be honest with him and confess it. Because remember, he knows in the dark and light is the same to him. You may try to hide from the pastor, but the pastor ain't the one who will save you. But God is the one who will bring the judgment. He goes on to say, what have you done? And do not hide it from me. You caught. Don't hide it from me. What have you done? And Achan answered Joshua, in truth, I have sinned against the Lord and the God of Israel, and this have I done. When I saw the spoils of the attractive mantle from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted my God. How many days we've coveted it? Belong to someone else, and we want it for ourselves. He coveted. Not only did he covet it, he took it. He said he coveted them and took them. So he sinned two times. He coveted, then he stole it. Behold, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers and ran to the tent, and behold, the spoil was hidden in his tent, and with the silver underneath. And they took them from the tent and brought them to Joshua, and all the Israelites laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver in the garment and the wedge of gold. Now see, you notice, even the things they stole, they didn't take it and put it, they took it and confiscate it for themselves. No, Then let themself be right there with him. You, this is what you wanted. You got it, buddy. They give it to him right there. He said, let an ink in the silver, I mean, the silver in the garment of virgin gold. His sons, the daughters, his oxen, the family pay for, along with you, your family pay. His oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, all that he had, everything. They want to make sure you ain't got nothing left that belonged to you out here, because we put all that together along with you. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you brought trouble on us? Your sin doesn't just affect you, but affect all those who's around you and connected to you one way or another, because some blessings didn't come because you in the camp and you hide, holding on to stuff that's bringing a curse upon the camp. So, because of this, the Lord will trouble you this day. So, what you brought to us, God gonna bring it to you today. And all Israel, the whole tribe, stoned him and those with him with stones, and afterward burned their bodies. He didn't. They're not wasting no money in a casket, burying you. They strung a match and set them on fire, cremate them, burned them for fire, judgment. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place that called the Valley of Achor, or troubling, to this day. So, in closing, because of the accursed thing, it cost him his life and his family, everything that belonged to him, even the very things that he stole. We cannot allow the enemy in these things that belong to him be in our camp and expect to be blessed. We have to break the cycles of defeat, overcoming defeat and failure. We will deal with the rest of that on the next one, but breaking the cycles of defeat, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to break covenant with those things that's causing us to be defeated. We have to break camp, those things that we may have hidden, those hidden confessions, those hidden matters of the heart. Confess them to the Lord. Be real with him. Say, God, I don't have it under control. I thought I had it, thought I could do it. I can't do it. See, God needs us to be real. Not only with others, but also with ourselves. These are things that can break those cycles that will cause us to have victory in the midst of defeat. That even no matter what the enemy may try and bring, you will stand. And you will be strong. You will overcome. So, Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you as you minister your heart. Thank you for every soul that heard and received in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, even as we come before you tonight, Lord God. Thank you for bringing answers to those questions upon our hearts. Thank you for bringing forth release now in Jesus' name. Show yourself strong upon each and everyone's life. That we have been touched by your word tonight, let us now go forth into newness of life. Show yourself strong, Lord God. Thank you for a mighty deliverance you will serve. Thank you for bringing us forth and setting us free. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, Lord, we bless you and we thank you. We surrender all to you now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, amen. If anyone desires to call and ask for prayer or any kind of any prayer or comment or question, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416, press 1 to get in the Q box. And so let me address this right quick, man. If anyone who needs to be saved, if you need to be saved right now, you need salvation. You need to be born again. We want to give you opportunity to follow. Amen. We're about to extend this offer to you of salvation. Be saved. If you are, repeat after me. Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you. I can do nothing without you. I open up my heart, and I receive now your word, you, into my life as my Lord and Savior. Wash me, make me white as snow. I surrender to you, and I receive now in Jesus' name. For those who need to be rededicated your life to the Lord, Lord, forgive me if I've gone astray. I have sinned. Thank you for bringing me back, Lord God, into right place, right standing with you. Thank you for realigning me with the truth of your word. Thank you for realigning me with your will for my life. I choose now to surrender all. Thank you for bringing me back into alignment to serve you as I ought to serve. I receive, I believe and receive now you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you for realigning me with the truth that I should live thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, glory to God. All right, man, just one more second. If there's anyone who need to call in, amen, the floor is open, amen, and as we get ready to move forward. In the meantime, I just want to thank God for each and everyone for being on the line tonight, and we want to extend the invitation to you to be a blessing, sow a seed, and you can go to Eagles Wings, IM, for PayPal, Eagles Wings, IM, at yahoo.com. And you can sow a seed, the love offering there, amen. Eagles Wings, IM, at yahoo.com, amen, for PayPal, amen. And we'd be glad to receive there, amen. So once again, we thank God for each and every one for being on tonight. And we pray you are blessed by the word, amen. Catch us on next week as we go back into part two. So continue to be blessed, and we love you all. Have a great night, amen.